Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Tom McNew here with the one and only Father John Gesualdo. Thanks, Father, for joining us again.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So we're going to pick here up with the seventh commandment. And if you... All right,
All
folks, for
right.
those of you that are following along in your catechism, we are on page 577, or more importantly, paragraph 2401, the seventh commandment. You shall not steal.
What else do we
Four
need to say? It's right there. Yeah.
pretty big words.
Yes.
So
Oh.
let's just jump in here. You would think that this is one of these commandments that wouldn't require a lot of explanation, but it's another one of these that you kind of got to peel the onion back a little bit to dig through the different aspects. I think most of us understand you don't go stealing somebody else's car, but it's really more than that,
Yeah.
more than just the stealing of people's goods.
So I think we have to start with, the fact that there is a seventh commandment, shall not steal, presupposes that you can't have private property. There are things, we're not socialists, we're not communists. You can have private property and legitimate for guaranteeing the freedom and dignity of persons. So you have a right to private property. Acquired or received in a just way does not take away from the original gift of the earth to the whole of mankind. So sometimes even Christians will be in favor of being socialist or being communist. And there's a great book out, if anybody's interested, by Trent Horn. It's actually titled, Can Catholics Be Socialist? And the answer is no, and it says, and here's why not. Because private property guarantees flourishing, guarantees boundaries. So, yeah, there is a universal destination of goods, of common goods, that all this will come together in the end. But the truth is, when we start getting into this, Tom McNew, stealing has reached a whole other level of insidiousness in our culture. And this is one of the commandments, I would argue, Tom, that you don't have to quote the Bible. Everybody knows stealing is wrong. Everybody knows that. Even thieves know that. All you have to do, always, I like to talk about this. All you have to do is, you ever done any kind of prison ministry? That people in prison have their own stuff, and there's nothing they hate more when someone steals from them. And there's actually like an unwritten rule, if somebody steals from you and you let them get away with it, they're just going to keep doing it. You can't, there has to be consequences. Every hardened criminal has it written in his heart. Nobody likes to be taken advantage of. Do unto others. So what I'm saying is, the biggest thieves in the world are the most sensitive to having things stolen from them. And the biggest example of that is hackers and scammers. When you catch them or you waste their time, people constantly trying to steal from my parishioners, posing as me, as they, and sometimes they pulled it off. They make a fake email, Father Gesualdo, F Gesualdo at something. It looks like me. And then they'll send emails and texts to my parishioners saying, "Hey, this is Father John. Can I talk to you? Hey, I need a favor." And somebody, you're not gonna, it's crazy to think about, but people do go to HEB and buy gift cards and send them money. And this happened here. And someone sent someone, "Hey, my niece is in need of some money. Could you send?" And they did it. And I felt so bad. And that money's gone.
You're never
It's
getting it back.
gone. Never getting back. So, but like, if you ever read Evangelium Vitae, I think it's even, or Donum Vitae, John Paul II says, even in assaulting people, the thief is always made worse. It hurts him more when he steals, because he loses freedom, he loses humanity, he's dug a hole again, he becomes addicted to stealing, and hell is forever. At the judgment day, when the Lord pulls out all those who you have hurt, and you realize, not only am I going to hell, I deserve hell. That's got to be awful.
I thought it, I've always thought it's been, it was interesting that, you know, on Calvary, the Lord was surrounded by two
Thieves.
thieves, not two liars, not two adulterers, not two blasphemers, but two thieves, you know, and it's like, it's almost as if he was saying, as bad, if there is, and this is Tom McNew, this is not church teaching, but if there is some sort of hierarchy amongst the commandments, stealing, thievery is one of the worst. Is it at the top of the list? Maybe not,
Because
maybe two or three.
99.9% people who have something stolen from don't get their property back. And then 90%, 99% of the people who steal, it's never worth it. It's not worth it. It's not enough. How much is enough? It's never enough. It only person it serves is Satan. He gets both of them. So how
So
do
the
we, how
cat,
do, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So how do we, what are the, what is the remedy for thievery? Well, it's Christianity. temperance and 224. I know I'm skipping way ahead here.
That's okay.
It says in economic matters, this is paragraph 24-7, respect for human dignity requires the practice of the virtue of temperance,
Temperance.
so as to moderate attachment to the world's goods, the practice of virtue and justice, of justice, to preserve the neighbor's, our neighbor's rights and render him what is due, and in the practice of solidarity in accordance with the golden rule, in keeping with the generosity of the Lord, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. So my guess, Tom McNew, is that you don't struggle with the temptation to steal because you feel for the people. You know, this is not mine. I don't want to hurt them. That would hurt them. So when someone steals, they have no empathy, no sympathy. They'll say things, and I've heard them. Well, if they're stupid enough to keep their car key in their car, or if they're stupid enough to let me in their house, or if they're stupid enough to keep the front door unlocked,
Unlocked.
wow, that's a such a violation of dignity. Wow, they trusted you, and you violated that trust. That makes you into an animal. You're losing, and you can't. Their temperance, they can't. I want that. It's jealousy. When you steal, you're taking something that you think you deserve, and that the other person won't mind, or they don't deserve it. You know, I always tell kids a story. Can I tell a story, Tom?
Yeah, sure.
When I was 18 or 19, I lived in an apartment when I was like a freshman in college. And right next to our com apartment complex was a McDonald's. And we used to go to McDonald's and steal their napkins and salt shakers.
Oh, yeah.
And 'cause why? Well, we needed them. And it's McDonald's, they can afford it. Well,
That's
see how that
justification.
works? How insidious that is?
Yeah.
One of the ways you just One of the ways you discern whether something is right or wrong is to ask yourself, what if everybody did this? What if everybody did this? Because not only did we steal from McDonald's, we stole from their employees. We stole from everybody, because when you steal from McDonald's, they will make up for that by raising the price of a Big
Raising the
Mac.
prices. That's
They just
right.
raise the price. And to steal from them is not is to be totally blind to the ripple effect of who you're hurting. So I used to work at Walmart, and people would rob us blind.
Oh,
I
gosh,
mean,
yeah.
but when they would do a deep dive into where all the sh they called it shrinkage, deep dive into who's stealing the most, it wasn't customers.
It was employees.
It was employees and managers.
Yeah.
Employees and there's, you know, because we'd clean out our tills with all the money, and there'd be a customer service manager, and he would count all the money. Well, they had to plant a camera to catch him sticking money in his pocket. Because you know why? Because it's Walmart, and they have enough money. They can
They're
afford this. They're not paying
a
me enough.
trillion-dollar corporation.
And we're only get paid, at the time, I was getting paid a minimum wage, $3.35 an hour. And every year we got a dime raise, sometimes a whole quarter.
Ooh.
Ooh. But I remember that, you know, he heard, I remember there was a manager up front. They found out he stole a couple hundred thousand dollars over 5 years.
Wow.
And the guy would say, you know, each semi truck with carries about 80 to $100,000 worth of merchandise. It's like someone stole a whole 18 wheeler full of. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
I think
go ahead.
this is one of those the areas, you know, where a lot of Christians, not just Catholics, but Christians in general, we struggle with the political authority's responsibility
Oh.
and recognizing and acknowledging that the government, the big, I'm using air quotes, the big government has the duty, the right and the duty to put some protections in and put laws and provide for private ownership of goods and products, as well as help to provide some protection for those of us to secure those goods and products and to punish the thieves. And I think that this
Yeah.
rubs some people raw a little bit.
You know, it's interesting too because I think this is one of the, because Christianity, one of the basic tenets of Christianity is mercy and forgiveness. And even taking on the sins of each other. So, like, you know, stealing from Walmart, we all pay for that. But if you go to a Muslim country, I just blessed the house of a some Filipinos who are living in Saudi Arabia. Do you know what the crime rate is in some of these Muslim countries?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Because you know what happens if you steal?
Yeah, you get a
They
hand
kill
covered.
you or they chop off your hand. And, you know, in Singapore, they have a crime rate of zero. Because if a drug dealer is a death penalty, boom. And we remember back in the 80s or 90s when that guy scratched a car with a knife, or
Oh yeah. He
they
got
caned
caned
him.
him. Yeah.
20 lashes with a cane. Well, we don't do that
No.
here. And I think, you know, and I'm not advocating for that, but what they do in Mexico too is they have, you know, when someone
There
is found guilty, they put him up on a pedestal and show everybody, hey, this is the guy who did it. Because we don't want to shame people. And
But there is an argument, though, for, and I don't want to get into some, commentary on the judicial system, but
understand.
there is an argument about, if the punishment was greater or more severe, that it would be a bigger deterrent than what it currently is. I mean,
Well,
we're
there's
never
not
going to
much
get
of a
rid
deterrent. I mean,
of, yeah.
when someone's in gets like someone
Well,
gets a
good grief,
DWI.
you look at what's going on in like places like California, where they don't even prosecute people. They won't even arrest people if they're stealing less than $1,000. And you have
Yeah.
these kids that run into these stores
And just pick
and
walk out.
right, they'll grab 400 or 500 pairs of, or 4 or 5 pairs of shoes that are all about $150 a piece. That's less than 1,000. They're not even gonna stop me. And they
Yeah, because
walk right
there's
out.
this notion that if we just forgive people,
Yeah.
people will act holy and loving and just, no, they don't. No, they don't. It's license. And Mother Church has always known this. That's why we have penance. Yeah,
And that's,
so.
at the end of the day, that to kind of go back to the two thieves on the at Calvary, the quote bad thief, that refused to admit his failing and refused to be willing to accept his punishment,
Yeah.
was not
And the
was
good
not
thief
given.
admitting, we deserve this. We are being punished in accordance with our crimes. Yeah. But actually, temperance again, we know hopefully we're not tempted to steal. I mean, hopefully you're like, when I go to Walmart, I'm not tempted to steal.
No.
I have other temptations in my life, to jealousy, envy, gossip, stuff like that, even rage and impatience. But can you imagine how much things would cost if nobody stole anything, Tom McNew?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much insurance would be? How taxes would be if nobody ripped off the government, lied to the government? They always find out in a lot of these, in a lot of these welfare houses, somebody's getting a welfare check for grandma who died 5 years ago. That's stealing from you and me. Or someone's on disability, and you're like, what's wrong with you? Well, I get nervous easily. Well, I have anxiety. Man, if that's all it takes, I want a disability. I mean, that's
Time blindness.
when I have a fear of big bridges going over rivers, I hate it. I get anxiety. I have anxiety of roller coasters. Surely I'd be account for something. But
No,
they will
that's
steal as because they think they're stealing from the government, which is lots of money,
yeah.
but the government is in debt. Yeah,
And
so
it
in other
kind of
words, not
gets,
paying your taxes is stealing.
yeah. And that gets us kind of into section two here, as you started with 2407 and really 2408, where theft is more than just walking into the Walmart. Or walking into the grocery store and stealing stuff off the shelf. It has to do with our obligations when we make contracts and our obligations at work,
Yeah.
to
Yeah. So,
put in an honest day's worth of work
and
for
I
what
say
we're
worth the
being
work
paid.
and employees. So let's look at 2409. I'm going to just
Okay.
highlight the very end. It's saying part of stealing is paying unjust wages. That's one of the sins that cry to God for justice. There's four sins that cry to God for justice, and this is one of them. And then it says forcing up prices or taking advantage of the ignorance or hardship of another. In other words, I met a guy who went downtown. This was in Bryan College Station and picked up some undocumented workers. And then he had one of them spend 10 hours clearing his backyard in the heat of the day. He had to mow it, rake it, and he only paid him $3 an hour. He worked for 10 hours, came 30 bucks. I said, that's a sin. Well, he's just an illegal immigrant. No, you should have paid him $20 an hour. Well, no, that was Jesus, and you just gave him $3 an hour. That's a sin that cries to God for justice. But also stealing from your employer, stealing from your employer. You're not
Making
showing
a
up and punching in and leaving. I had an employee once, I'll tell you this story. I had an employee once who would punch in and go hide and smoke. He'd go hide in the shed and smoke for hours. It was amazing. He would punch in at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't find him. I would say, he's here. Where is he? So later on, they'd find him. Where were you at five? Oh, I was. But one day, for some reason, he punched in at 5 a.m., and I looked in my garage, and all the lights were off. But for some reason, I went in there and turned the lights on, and there he was in the corner, smoking a cigarette. I said, you realize that's stealing. I fired him that day. I said, you're fired. You're stealing. But in his mind, he's making money. Church has lots of money. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? It's only illegal if you get caught. And that's why you have to have a good examination of conscience. Because if his conscience didn't bother him, that means there's something wrong with his conscience. So if I can tell you something else, we're supposed to, like today, I went and blessed someone's house. And oftentimes someone will give me a little gift to say thank you for blessing their house. So question for you, Tom McNew, do I have to claim that on my taxes?
If it's a capital gain, if they give you $100, then yeah, that's
Yeah. Any
because you
kind
that's a
for
salary for that they gave you.
services rendered, but the government and the church makes me responsible because I have to write down here, keep track of it, and at the end of the year, I have to claim that. But now, let's say Christmas comes around and they give me $20 or $100 in a Christmas card. Do I have to claim that?
No,
No, that's a
that's a
gift.
gift.
It's a gift. So, but if I don't tell the government that they just gave me $100 to bless their home. No one's going to know. The government's not going to know. But I know, and God knows. That's a mortal sin. So I'm not going to hell for none of you. So sometimes someone for baptism, someone will give me money. Like go like this and try, and I don't want to touch it. I said, I don't want it. Even if it's $5, I'll say, I don't want to touch it. Put it in the little till right there, the donation. Because the moment I touch it,
It's
I got to
yours.
pay taxes on that. But
And arguably in that scenario that you were just talking about with the house blessing, if you're almost double dipping the sins. If you take the money and don't report it, then you've stolen, and then they're not reporting is a lie.
yeah. Oh,
So
but it's only if you believe in God, because only God knows in that family. They don't know how taxes work. In their mind, it's just a gift. Thank you, Father. It was in a little card that said thank you. But if you believe in God and you know this will be a part of your judgment, that's why I pay taxes. I want to pay taxes. And it's not because I love the government. I'm not a fan of the government. But it's the deal that we make. But if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that there is a judgment, then why not? Why not? Live it up. Drink, eat, drink, and be a fat kid. You know, eat, drink, and be live it up, because tomorrow we die. But stealing, and it's actually, especially stealing from those who, that's, paying an unjust wage is stealing from the poor. Yeah. And
So
contract. Go
before
ahead.
we before we run out of time here,
Oh.
I want to kind of get see if we can get through section three, the social doctrine of the church here with paragraph 24, 19.
Oh, we're moving ahead. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot more we could say about the first two sections, but just in the interest of time here, I think this is, and there's actually, for those of you out there who are listening who may not be familiar with this umbrella term of the social doctrine of the church, there's actually a very good book that speaks just to the social doctrine of the church. It's trying to remember when it was written.
Okay.
Searching through the interwebs, you'll find it. But really dives into the catechism does a pretty good treatment of it, but this particular book I'm talking about is that really peels the onion back here. So
So how do you want to start on this? What is the big thing you think we need to talk about?
well, I think it gets to that first sentence there in paragraph 2420, where it says the
Okay.
church makes a moral judgment about economic and social matters, quote, when the fundamental rights of the person or the salvation of souls requires it, end quote. And it's from Gaudentium, that's from a papal document. I forgot. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
Okay.
anyway, I think that that is an important recognition that we have to understand. Sorry, alarm going off. An important recognition on the part of all of us that that's the church's purview, that the stipulation and the announcement of that moral standpoint in regards to economic and social matters.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of a,
I know that's kind of the 50,000 foot
yeah, that's a
look at
kind of,
things.
so this is where we get into the weeds about what is due everyone. I think, yeah, when it comes to taxes and what, in like here in this country, we have a progressive tax. I've always thought, that a flat tax sometimes would be more just. No matter how much you make, you got to pay a certain amount. I think the Old Testament, 10% for everybody, 10% for everybody. But the thing is, I remember once a priest from South America, because for a while there, especially the Jesuits were involved in a lot of Marxist social justice things. And that's the idea that everybody's the same and it's treated the same. And we know on a moral level that's true. But that the rich and the poor sin in their own way. And people have a right to a just wage, whatever that is. Now we can argue about that. We can, but to see that all goods and services are pointed towards the human good, the good of society, the larger good. And so what that looks like is difficult to ascertain. I think capitalism is the greatest thing that ever happened to poor people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, and I think then, and I am going to kind of jump in here
Okay.
again, but flipping the page to 24:25, this really kind of hits home this whole point. The very
Yeah.
first sentence: the church has rejected the totalitarian and an atheistic ideologies associated in modern times with communism or socialism. And you started hitting on it earlier that, yes, we treat everyone the same, but there is no such thing as everybody owns the same thing.
And
And
so,
that's,
but capitalism also has to be restrained.
yes,
It's not just
very good.
about making the most money. It's what serves the common good. Regulating the economy solely by centralized planning perverts the basis of social bonds, regulating it solely by the law of marketplace for social justice. In other words, government has a role to play in telling companies you can't just take advantage and it can't have monopoly, that competition is good, and that we should. And I think we're just coming out of this now. I don't know if you saw what Robert Barron said to Shapiro, Ben Shapiro. The kind of liberal Catholicism has now been exhausted, that it has now run its course, and it kind of aligned itself with neo-Marxist ideas, the kind of especially with liberation theology, that when we bring business and economic wealth, everybody benefits. But when you just take from the rich and give to the poor, you're hurting everybody. You're hurting everybody. And that the government has a role to play, but also we should celebrate entrepreneurs, encourage them, not encourage, that's what happened to the black community, especially after the Civil War, they were slowly advancing, slowly and getting better. And all of a sudden, in the 60s and 70s, with LBJ's War on Society, they got married to government. And they forgot about fathers and family and marriage. But that's what helped society. Well, it killed
Without any
their.
doubts.
I think they're just now starting to
I think, yep.
realize that.
Father, we're gonna have to put a pin in our conversation here
All
for
right,
the week,
brother.
and we'll come back next week and pick up here with the second half of the seventh commandment. Thanks everybody for tuning in. And remember to put on the armor of God.